the obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton, the real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
I love where our wideouts are right now. I know we've had some injuries, but I like where we're at. I feel good about 1 through 8 of being able to contribute for us. Like, all different skill sets, we're going to have to figure out how to put them in and figure out those positions, personnel groupings, and we'll get to the regular season for that. But I feel really good with where our wideouts are. Josh has a good comfort level with them, and I know we haven't got some preseason games with them. You know, it was good to get Curtis back yesterday, kind of moving around, and we'll obviously ramp him back up. But I have no questions with our wideouts going into the season.
Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady, who's on team upside down hat, by the way. Don't know if you noticed that in Hard Knocks.
I'm not team upside down hat. I just don't have any.
We are within, I would say we are less than 12 months away. How about less than 13 months? Because I'll go to like the opener next year. From a head coach standing on the sidelines wearing an upside down hat with their team logo on it. I think we are
like a sideline hat. Year.
Yeah. Like Joe, it could be Joe Brady. Next year, week one, he's the head coach of the New York Giants. That might be the wrong team. His owner might fire him over that because they're so old school there. Who's good for this? Joe Brady goes and coaches Ben Johnson maybe next month.
Yeah,
upside down Bears hat.
He don't got that kind of swag. I don't think. No. I don't think he's pulling that off.
I think Bobby Babich also has that. I don't know if he'll get a head coach job, but Brady will wear one. Liam Cohen, that's a possibility.
No.
The GM has more. The GM in Jacksonville has the swag more than the coach.
He's
a young guy.
O'Connell.
Kevin O'Connell. Yes.
I would love to see that. I've never seen Sean McVay in a hat.
I don't think I have.
Never
either.
Seen him in a hat.
How many of the coaches wear hats? Half of them?
80%.
80%?
Mm-hmm. None of the ball coaches.
Who are the non-hat
McVay,
wearers? McVay.
Pete Carroll.
Yep. Vrabel doesn't wear a hat.
Vrabel. McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel. No, you're right. Yep, he doesn't. He vapes on the sidelines.
He does vape.
He doesn't.
He vapes. He doesn't wear a hat, though. Draws a line at hat.
Dable.
Dable wears one now. Yes.
He does?
Yep.
A baseball cap?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I can't even picture him with a baseball cap.
I think
cap.
He's one of those coaches that's like 50-50. Like, yeah. D'Amico Ryans is the same thing.
D'Amico Ryans.
Like, there's sometimes he's wearing a hat, sometimes he's not.
Kyle Shanahan's always got the flat brim.
Always
the flat brim. Does Todd Bowles wear a hat?
No. Yes. Yes, he does.
Okay. Dan Quinn?
Backwards.
Backwards hat.
Yeah.
Yes, we have a backwards hat, not an upside down hat, but we do have a backwards hat.
That's
right.
I do like the backward forward hat thing, like the whole Colin Cowherd thing. He looks ridiculous with a backwards hat.
Dan Quinn.
He looks ridiculous.
He looks fine.
He looks stupid.
Why? Because of his age or?
Yes. I just like think of your grandfather. Hair. Think of your grandfather right now.
Yeah,
wearing a backwards hat.
I've seen my grandfather wearing a backwards hat.
Unironically,
he's got. He pulls that off.
Your grandfather has done it ironically. He's probably like, oh, look at me, I'm one of you young kids. And
yeah.
Dan Quinn's literally just like, hell yeah, brother.
That's what Dan Quinn's doing, isn't he?
No,
he's trying to relate to the younger players, and he wants to look like the cool dad in the room.
What's it, Steve Buscemi? What's he say? How do you do, fellow kids? Yeah. How do you do, fellow kids?
Does John Harbaugh wear a hat? Yes, right?
Yes. Jim and John both
Is
wear
everybody
hats.
Always the same? Is there anybody that like you don't know what they're going to be wearing on the sidelines that day? Mike LaFleur. That might be the guy.
Vrabel?
I feel like I've seen both. No, Vrabel's not wearing a baseball cap.
Yeah.
I don't think so. All right, let's get Steve in Texas on. He's been waiting through this nonsense. What's up, Steve?
Hey guys, sorry to steal the swag thunder there. But,
no,
swag
go for
thunder.
It.
So I called before just because I was listening to you guys talk about the roster, and you know it was Sal talking about projecting the 53 man, and I'm already to the point where I'm thinking at the trade deadline of like who is going to be this year's Amari Cooper, who's going to be the Rasul Douglas, and I'm like scouting through. Yahoo Sports looking at the over-unders for the teams that are 5.5, 4.5, 6.5 that are going to be selling at the trade deadline.
Yep.
And I can't think of anybody that's like a difference maker on these teams that they can go and add to help get this team over the hump. Because I think that just – I'm waiting for Brandon Bean to, like, tell us, like, hey, we're going to take our shot. And, you know, we always have all these, you know, above-average players. And, they, you know, the Bills do have great a few great players, but it's like – showing me that, like, hey, we're going for it this year, and I'm making a move, and I'm throwing away some first and seconds, and we're getting somebody fantastic.
Yeah.
And we are going to make the Super Bowl. So that's just – that's what I was thinking about when I was calling before.
See, the only thing is those guys getting traded mid-year, like, sometimes you'll get veterans, but that would be – like, you're talking, like, what, a Parsons-level player as a mid-season trade?
Well, I mean, that would be fantastic, but I just – somebody that's got some name brand recognition.
Yep.
And, you know, looking at, you know, the teams that have young quarterbacks are not going to sell an offensive piece. You know, the Giants probably are, they're all trying to keep their jobs. They're not going to try to dump any players. You know, it's like, and especially out of conference, you know, it's like, okay, mm-hmm. It's the Saints. You know, who do they have that can put Buffalo over the top? Not really anybody. The Panthers, you know, they have a young quarterback, so they're not, you know, they're still building. I don't think they want to get rid of any of their pieces.
Yep. Yeah,
I
like this exercise. The other thing that I would like to and this might make it even harder to find a perfect fit here. The other thing that I think you might want to throw into the equation: who just got there? Who the GM, the coach? Who just got there? Because a lot of those teams are going to be filled with guys that they didn't bring in, guys that they didn't draft, guys that they didn't sign. This is the Bills in 2017. They trade Watkins and Darby and Darius away. Like, they just got there. They're not tied to those players. And like you mentioned, like Dable and Joe Shane, that team might be bad, but they brought in that roster.
That entire roster's theirs.
Versus New Orleans, they might not have a player good enough for this, but New Orleans, like, Kellen Moore just got there.
Yep.
Although they might have the same GM.
They just traded picks for a receiver. Yeah. How about that?
Thanks, Steve, for the
call. A 28-year-old second-year receiver.
I like this. Like, trying to figure out who's the right team to pinpoint for... like, who am I calling? Who wants to do the Watkins trade? You know, like, maybe you want a player better than what Watkins was, but when Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott got here, before that season, it was, hey, this guy is a starting caliber receiver. You can have him for a second-round pick. And they pulled that trade off with the Rams. Who, part of that was the Bills just got there and they weren't tied to Watkins. Who's that team? Who's fresh? Who just got there? Jacksonville just got there. But they think they're going to be good?
They're building. They're not breaking down.
Okay.
The problem is...
the Jets just got there.
Two teams... yeah.
That's a division.
Yeah. Two teams that should be selling parts that aren't are the Colts and the Browns. They're buying.
Right. And Stefanski's been there. He's going to be trying to save his job. Right?
Cowboys should probably trade somebody, but they
Jerry
won't.
Jones.
They no, won't.
Can't get Jerry Jones to do that.
Chicago's
new. But they think they're going to be good.
Yep.
Who's going to be the worst team with a first-year coach or GM? I mean, the answer is New Orleans. And
yes.
I'm looking at their depth chart. You can't have Justin Reed. They just paid him. You're not going to be able to – you want to pay him $11 million a year?
Right.
Like, I know we want an upgrade at safety. Maybe you do want that. Can they afford it? It's another middle-level contract. What, man, New Orleans is going to be bad. You know, the name I really want to mention here.
Chris Olave.
And I'm why are you talking about receiver again?
Yeah.
Chris Olave is the guy.
Chris right? Olave's 100% the guy.
He's the guy on that roster. He's the best player on that roster that you could afford. He just happens to play wide receiver. I'm not even doing it on purpose. I'm telling you he's the best player on that roster that you could afford because you can't get Justin Reed. He's $6 million cap hit, but a base salary of 1.4. You could get that on your books. You can get that
Olave?
Player. You can get him, money-wise. But you're going to have to spend a big asset. And I love the player. But what would terrify me is he feels like he's one more bad concussion away from maybe being done in the league.
Yeah.
He's got a long concussion history. It's like Tua level almost.
Yep.
So that is risky. He'd be awesome. He'd be your best receiver immediately.
Could Tyrann Mathieu come back from retirement and then get traded to Buffalo?
Did he retire from the Saints?
Yes.
Trying to see if there's anybody else. There also isn't many positions where you would feel the need to add a star player. It's pass rusher,
Cam
it's
Jordan,
safety, and it's for me, it's wide receiver.
Cam Jordan.
Okay. Cam Jordan. Is he still good?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So New Orleans is a team to look at here. Don't you expect them to make a deadline move, though? Like every year now? Because they've done it enough?
The Saints or the Bills?
The Bills. The Bills.
Yeah.
Because every year, it's tough to predict, though, right? Because in back-to-back seasons, Cooper, they trade for, maybe that one's a little bit different. Like, why do they trade for Rasul Douglas the year prior? Because Tre'Davious White got injured.
Yep.
They needed a guy to fill in for an injury. And I feel like more often, that's where you end up adding. And how are you supposed to know in August which position is going to get injured between right. now and the deadline, which is the first week of November? You don't. I mean, you knock on wood, this doesn't happen. But if something happened to Terrell Bernard, who has injury history, by the way, like, oh, I guess you traded for a middle linebacker to start for you in the play. You went out and got Bobby Wagner or some veteran like that. How would you know that's going to happen in August? The Cooper trade was a little different. The Cooper trade was, like, no one had been injured yet. Coleman wasn't hurt, right? It was just, our group doesn't look that good.
Yeah.
There was the Houston game they were coming off of. The group, then there was the Jet game. But our group doesn't look that good. We're just going to add this on top of what we've already got. And for that, safety is number one.
Yeah.
Like, what's the position where it wouldn't take an injury? It would be, we're in the middle of the year, and Bishop is either not healthy or Bishop's just not working out, and it's, guys, we're back to DeMar Hamlin.
You know who?
If DeMar Hamlin is starting at safety for this team, and I think DeMar Hamlin is a little underrated. Like, really, I think he's a great tackler. I think he's a great run-defending safety. I think he's always in the right place at the right time. He just lacks athleticism. No doubt, though, I don't think he should be starting for this team at safety. So if in the middle of the year, whatever the circumstances are, DeMar Hamlin is starting at safety, I think our phone lines are going to be full every day leading up to the deadline, screaming, trade for a safety, trade for a safety.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Find a safety somewhere. No doubt, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know what other position you would project right now that's going to happen with. I don't think there's another one.
It's obvious. The team that came to mind to me, too, on this, on potential trades, because of situation, new coaching staff, it's the Patriots. They have a ton of pieces in the defensive backfield and at wide receiver.
They're going to be good, though.
Good.
How about this? They're gonna have a good record.
Okay.
I think maybe they're a team that we're gonna be arguing about. They're 7-3.
They have too many people at wide receiver. And they're talking about maybe moving Duggar, but they have literally
at safety.
Yeah. They've got 10 receivers.
Yeah, but who do you want? You want one of them?
I'd take Jerome Baker.
Sure, Javon Baker. Like I would take. He would be the Bills' fifth receiver.
What about DeMario Douglas?
Another slot guy. I like him, but he's another slot guy.
What about who's the guy they signed? Who's the guy they signed 2 years ago after he tore his ACL and he came back and he really didn't do anything last year? Kendrick Bourne.
Okay, I thought for half a second you were describing Diggs, and I'm like. We're not doing that. Collins and Diggs were their two signings this offseason. No, there's nobody there that goes to the top. I mean a guy that's like you're plugging him in to start.
Okay.
Those are the trades they've made at the deadline. Guys that come right in and play. And I think New England's record might be too good. That's also in the division. Maybe the Jets you could poach somebody off of. I do think, though, New England, like part of that is I look at their schedule. If you don't think New England's going to be good this year, you might be right, but their record's going to be good. They play too many bad teams to not have a decent record. It would be, I think, pathetic from the Patriots if they don't have a winning record through like the first eight games of the season. I think it would be like I would hammer them if they don't have a winning record by then. They play the Saints in that time. They play Tennessee. They play Cleveland. They play Carolina. They play the Raiders. They play the Dolphins. Just they should win almost all of those games.
They should. I would agree with that.
803-0550 is the phone number on this. There was a, not to bring attention to it, but there was a fake rumor yesterday that the Bills had made an offer for Micah Parsons. It's tough to ask this question because I don't know. Like, you'd really have to have an intricate knowledge of the cap. But would you believe they've made a call on Micah Parsons?
Yeah. I believe that. I feel like they would have to. They'd have to make the call.
Those are the biggest ideas out there right now. I think such a tough time of year for Parsons because he is the perfect example of what Brandon Bean's been trying to get for years.
Yes.
And I just don't know they have any way to do it. $24 million on the cap. That's one where I wonder if a team can take on salary. Like, can Dallas say, hey, to make you're giving us what we want, so to make this work, we're going to eat half of it. Like, I guess maybe that's possible. Him not playing week one is also, I think, a real possibility. I think he seems to be pushing against Dallas harder than Prescott and Lamb did. And they did, too.
Like I think he should, too.
Because you think he's worth more than those
two? He's the best player on the team.
Micah Parsons?
Yes. And Jerry knows it.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't know it enough to pay him.
Yeah. That's or he knows it and doesn't want to pay him.
That's Jerry Jones for you.
Yeah.
Adam Schefter's reporting that Chris Godwin has been activated off the PUP list.
Yep.
I can't imagine, though, even Schefter is saying this. He's unlikely to play until October. Godwin, who got a big contract this summer after New England offered him like $20 million more than Tampa did total, and he decided to go with the stay in Tampa instead of go over to the Patriots. That would have been another receiver they had. Although they wouldn't have paid Diggs.
Also, I've, over the last like 5 minutes, have gone through like 11 teams depth charts, and there's one team that has popped up that has a safety.
Okay.
That could even potentially work just from a numbers game and would be worthwhile.
Who's that?
Atlanta. Jordan Fuller. They have Xavier Watts behind him.
Yep.
Jordan Fuller's never really been like a key starter.
Right.
But is in their starting lineup currently. Otherwise, I can't even really find a team that has depth at safety where you're like, okay, that they could move a safety.
They have three starting caliber safeties.
Yeah.
Fuller has started 55 games in 5 years. And he's the games he's missed are due to injury, not because of play, it looks like. 803-0550, the phone number. Anthony in Buffalo is next up. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, good, guys. Real quick. You know, Micah Parsons, is the franchise tag a possibility for them to move money around for the cap? You know, that's basically my question, man. I'll hang up and
Wait, for Dallas, you're saying, Anthony, or for the Bills?
No, for the Bills. If the Bills go to trade for Micah Parsons, would they have to absorb the $4 million right off the bat, or can they move it in a way of using the franchise tag to allow for more money to be given off of the cap?
Because whatever his contract is right now is still his rookie deal. So the contract that they'd be acquiring is fairly palatable.
No, they wouldn't because it's the fifth year option. It's $24 million.
Oh yeah, so it's not particularly, and it's guaranteed. That's on the cap.
Right.
There's nothing you could do to move that number, and you could tag him, but it wouldn't be till the following season, till 2026, and at that point, it would make no sense.
Right.
If you're trading for him, you already likely have an extension in place.
Yes.
You have to have the extension in place.
Absolutely.
Is it his fifth year already?
It is his fifth year.
Wow.
Yeah, no. Dallas could tag him in a year. That'd be something, wouldn't it? It's already this ugly, and then they tag him. They tagged Prescott two times. They are a ridiculous franchise.
Yes, they are.
Just a ridiculous franchise.
They truly, truly are.
AJ and Wheatfield's next. What's up, AJ?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Morning.
I love the safety talk. So I always thought, you know, if it's really that bad, the safety, if we have enough depth at cornerback, can we move somebody from cornerback over to play safety? And do you think we have the players on the team already to do so?
Thanks for the question. We've gotten it a couple times. I don't personally believe they do. No. I think if they had, like, if Hairston was totally healthy and Douglas was still under contract and they had added Tre'Davious White, then yeah, I think we'd be sitting here talking about, can Rasul Douglas move to safety? Or maybe they've already been doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, Hairston is hurt. I've got Trey White performing well at camp. He's starting a corner. And then behind him, yeah, like, I guess, what are you supposed to do? You want to try Dane Jackson at safety?
No, not really.
Like, I guess that could work.
Yeah, not really.
But how confident are you that that's an upgrade over what you already have? Like, I think if you had a start, Pittsburgh is this right now. Pittsburgh makes that trade for Jonnu Smith.
Mm-hmm.
They trade Minkah Fitzpatrick away, clearing a hole at safety. They take on the Jalen Ramsey contract for Miami. So now they have Jalen Ramsey on the team. The problem is, and it's a good problem to have, I guess, for Pittsburgh, they have three starting caliber corners already. So, or they have two on the outside. So it's, what's going to happen here? Is Ramsey going to play in the nickel? Or there was talk of, well, we just lost Jalen Minkah Fitzpatrick. Maybe he plays Ramsey. He's a big corner. You want to put Jalen Ramsey at safety? Like, in a situation like that, I think it's an idea worth bringing up. I don't think the Bills have that
situation. The problem is, the safety position compared to corner, very few people make the transition from corner to safety, largely because what the safeties have to do in the NFL is run defenders in the box.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills don't have a body type that's like a tweener.
Right.
They don't have a
big, long, Cooper big DeGene. Lengthy corner.
They don't have a Cooper DeGene.
No.
Right? They did used to have Ciara Neal. Like, but that's not a guy that moves the needle for anybody.
I mean, like, Christian Benford was talked about as a safety because he might have a body type a little closer to this. But at this point, he's one of the best corners in football.
Yeah.
So that's a ridiculous idea. So you're not doing that. And yeah, I don't know if you have another guy that's like that. Aaron Williams, when he made the switch to safety, he was 6'1", 210.
That's a bigger body frame.
At least that's what he's listed at. So yeah, I don't think you have that guy. 803-0550 is the phone number. Good question, though. If you got a thought or a question, feel free to throw it our way at 803-0550. I want to dive through the roster a little bit more tomorrow, but do a little of that when we come back on the bubble, and we talked about Ogunjobi a little bit earlier as we try to figure out what the Bills 53 is going to look like. It's Jody Biasi, Nate Geary. This is WGR.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Or how about the mysterious death of Brittany Murphy? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped murder at the hands of the Manson family? The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton? The real-life murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? The three conspiracies surrounding Marilyn Monroe's death? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Hollywoodland is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.